Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 24th Sunday of Ordinary Time. This Sunday we read from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, and we get to see Jesus and Peter have a very powerful conversation about how often to forgive. And chances are, if you're sitting anywhere near a church when this gospel is read, you're going to hear about the importance of forgiveness and why you should forgive, but seldom are we hearing how to forgive. So what I want to do is I want to give a practical primer on forgiveness. Okay, so how do I practically forgive? How do I go about forgiving the person who has injured me or offended me? How do I go about forgiving? Well, let's get a couple of things squared away. First, we have to understand that forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Forgiveness is about letting go of the resentment, pain, anger that clouds our ability to properly love the other, to properly and accurately love the person who has injured me. Okay. Reconciliation is about fixing the relationship, about mending the relationship. Forgiveness is a prerequisite to real reconciliation. Okay. I cannot reconcile with someone whose injuries and faults and offenses I am still holding over their head. It becomes impossible. So the first step is forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness is to allow eventual reconciliation, a reestablishment of the relationship. So now that we know that, okay, how do we do it? The first is you have to make war against yourself. Forgiveness is about a big part of truly forgiving is resisting the sinful instinct of our pride to demand that the other person respond before we love them. So, for example, a lot of times we find ourselves saying things, why would I forgive him if he has not asked for forgiveness? Why would I let him off the hook? Why would I let the person off the hook if they have not yet made any changes? Why? Because it keeps you trapped. Because it keeps you trapped. So it's also problematic because it puts you in a compromising position where you and I, we're saying, I refuse to move forward, to love this person, to essentially, I reject the call to love my enemy, to love the person who has hated me, who has shown me hate by their offense against me, until they change. But last time I checked, that's not what the gospel says. That's not what the Lord teaches. So resisting that instinct, making war against it interiorly, a kind of spiritual warfare within yourself where you stubbornly resist the urge to wait to act or to postpone doing the good because the other person has not yet changed, asked for forgiveness, or responded. If you don't, then it will rot you from the inside. So how do you do that? First rule of real forgiveness, pray for the person who injured you with the equal or greater intensity than the offense given. It's kind of like the spiritual law. I will not merely return hate for hate. Heck, I'm not even going to return the same amount of love for the hate I was given, I'm going to pray even more for the person. But here's the key. To truly pray for the person who has hurt you, it has to be prayer for them. Not what we often do, which is, Lord, give me the patience, the right attitude, right? At that point, we're not praying about the other person, we're praying about ourselves. So as selfless as possible, you pray for the other person, for the person who has sinned against you. Lord, make them a saint. Lord, help them grow. Lord, bless their day. Lord, help them be a good father, a good mother, a good brother. Allow them to have a genuine encounter with you. The greater the offense, the more dynamic, fanatical, and disproportionate our response in goodness should be. That's number one. Number two, forgiveness requires a dying to self. Real forgiveness requires a dying to self. So, Jesus is the perfect example of this. As he is there on the cross, he is God, fully man, fully God. He has the power to snuff out with a thought, to snuff out from existence everyone who was involved in nailing him to the cross. But yet there on the cross, he not only chooses self-restraint, but more than just self-restraint. Self-restraint is not enough. Not returning evil for evil is not enough. He goes a step further. Even there, he prays for them. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They know not what they do. So, self-restraint, self-sacrifice, an offering of our own self. So, rule number two, the greater the injury, the more likely you should be offering sacrifices on behalf of the person who has sinned against you. Because if they have sinned against you, the very fact that they sinned is telling you, this person is putting their soul in jeopardy. They need prayers more than ever. One of the things that fasting does, not just fasting from food, but from things that you enjoy, in offering it purposefully for the person that you least want to offer it for, is it strengthens the quality of your love, it hones your relationship with God, and it puts love at the center of it, and not justification, not being justified in your reprisal or thoughts or bad thoughts about the person. It puts God back in the heart of it, okay? Now, last is this. It is impossible to forgive. It is impossible to forgive in a true and genuine way without also looking at our own part in the story. Because often, relationships are complex. And by the time someone offers injury, has sinned against us, chances are that this is not the first time, but rather a long line of tit-for-tats in which little by little things have escalated. You did one thing to me, I did a thing in response. Then you responded to what I did, and then I respond to what you did. And over time, they escalate, and they begin small, and eventually they escalate to really big injuries. Now, in order for forgiveness to be genuine, you have to deal with your own part. Why? Because the purpose of forgiveness is to get to the door of reconciliation, to allow for the right context, the right circumstances, for reconciliation to be available between the two people. And so, and this is something I tell my spiritual directees often, is often the forgiveness that we're expecting the other person to ask for will not come until we own our part. That means do not wait for the other person to ask for forgiveness first if you still have something to ask forgiveness for. It's a huge humble pie. But real maturity in love and faith require this. So, those three things, praying selflessly, praying and offering sacrifice in equal or greater measure than the offense given, and owning our own faults and asking for forgiveness without waiting for the other person, those three things will get about 90% of people to real forgiveness and peace. If you are in if you're experiencing an injury that's greater than that, then by all means, go sit down with your priest, sit down with your spiritual director, sit down with your family, with your friends. Talk it over, but be brutally honest. Be brutally honest. Because in the end, this is the part that we all forget. When we are offended, when we've been sinned against, all of a sudden, we forget that constantly we are praying in the Our Father, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. The measure of forgiveness we will receive from God is an image of the least amount of forgiveness we have offered those who have offended us. So if there's someone that you're still holding on to, some offense you're still holding on to, know that with whatever passion, whatever ego, whatever anger, whatever maliciousness you're holding on to, that's the level of mercy you will receive from God. You ask for it every time you pray the Our Father. Forgive us how? As we have forgiven those who trespass against us. But what happens if we haven't forgiven? And so, be practical. Pray, sacrifice, ask for forgiveness first. God bless.